Chapter 18. Therapy. One thing my parents have been quite clear about is that I am not to miss any more sessions with Dr. Ahlstrom. I can understand their position, as they have to pay her for the meetings I miss. Of course, they could save a lot of money by not sending me at all, but they just can't seem to comprehend the logic of that. Dr. Eleanor Ahlstrom is an aging female with a ragged cigarette voice. I know she smokes because I can smell it on her. Her office is in the Fairview Medical Center. Our meetings always start out exactly the same way. I walk into her consultation room. She's sitting in her complicated-looking chair with a manila folder spread across her lap, reading. After about 6 seconds, she closes the folder, looks up, and smiles. Her teeth are blindingly white. I don't think they're real. "Good afternoon, Douglas." "Hi." "Would you care to sit down?" I sit. She looks me over. Looking for what? I don't know. "And how are you today?" she always asks. "I'm fine," I always say. "And how are things at home?" she asks for the 30th time. "Fine," I say, again and again. All of this at $95 per hour, or $1.58 per minute. "Have you been taking your medication?" "Yes," I say, "but it's not true. That's why I don't like visiting Dr. Ahlstrom. Every week I have to lie. I hate telling lies, even necessary ones."
"I understand your bridge is nearly completed. Remarkable."
Apparently she's been in contact with one of my parents. "It's not so remarkable," I say.
"Really? A replica of the Golden Gate Bridge? It sounds quite ambitious."
I shrug. "In fact, I think my bridge is beyond remarkable. It should win a prize. Except there are no prizes for model bridges. I plan to finish it by November 17th. You should come and see it sometime."
"I'd like that."
"Me and..." I catch myself just in time. She leans forward like a cat about to pounce.
"You and..."
"Nothing. I have made a pact with myself never to mention Andy in this office ever again. Dr. Ahlstrom has a weird aversion to Andy. She thinks he's the source of all my problems. According to her, Andy's accomplishments undermine my own sense of self-esteem, or something like that. Also, every time I get in trouble, Andy is somehow involved. That might be true, but it's only a coincidence. Actually, Andy and I keep each other out of more trouble than we get each other into. But there is no explaining that to Dr. Ahlstrom.
"You and..."
she says again, costing my parents another 65 cents. "Me and my parents are going to Disney World." I'm lying again.
"Oh, that sounds like fun."
Actually, I'm not sure we're going, but I'd like to." That's only half a lie.
"I see."
We stare at each other for about $1.40.
"And how are things going at school?"
"Okay, except my art teacher is mad at me for drawing the same thing all the time."
"Really? What have you been drawing?"
"I can show you." She gets me a piece of paper and a pencil, and at $95 an hour, she watches as I sketch my latest version of the sigil. Believe it or not, I've actually been taking Mrs. Felka's advice and trying to loosen up a little. My new sigil is quite arty. Dr. Ahlstrom examines my effort, frowning in a puzzled sort of way.
"Very interesting, Douglas. Would you like to tell me about it?"
"Fat chance." I say, "It's just an interesting shape."
"What does it represent?"
"Nothing." Liar.
"Really?
It looks like flames. I don't know what it is. I copied it out of a magazine.
Lie number 4.
She takes the paper from me.
May I keep this?
Sure.
She slides the paper into her manila folder. I wonder what else she has in there.